about the dreidel. Okay, so
I spin mine upside down.
Yeah.
So do I.
All right, let's play.
All right, buddy, so I take out your money. Everyone put your money on the table. We accept credit cards. Credit cards, American Express accepted. Everything is accepted here. All right, let's talk about the dreidel. What is the significance of the dreidel? So there's an old tradition. The tradition goes back. Is it true or not? No one knows if it's true or not. This tradition is that when the Yevanim, there was a gzera lahashkicham mitoyros secha. There was a gzera not to learn. You're not allowed to learn. The schools have to be shut down. Okay, all yeshivas have to be closed down. And they sent inspectors. Okay, the inspectors came around to see what's going on. And if they caught them learning, it can be pikuach nefesh. So what did they do? They gave them toys, kugelach. They gave them chamesh avonim. Okay, not kugelach, but they gave them this little toy. They would spin the toy, and they would make believe they're playing games. And in truth, they were really teaching them. They were teaching them Torah, but it was just a disguise, a charade to fool the inspectors that we're not learning Torah, when really they were learning Torah. Is that really true or not? Maybe it is. Who knows? That is the tradition. Okay. Now, what does it say on the dreidel? Four letters. The four letters. What are the four letters, and what is the order? Now, it seems there are three versions of a dreidel. When you go into the Judaica store and ask for a dreidel, you have to ask for the right version. There's Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Shimush Rabba, and the Rambam, and the Ravid. You know, tefillin. You can get four different types of tefillin. You can buy the Rashi, Ben Utam, Ravid, and Shimush Rabba. Shimush Rabba is only like for really way out in the Kabbalah. I asked the very big cipher if he ever sold Shimush Rabba tefillin. Once, one guy ordered from him Shimush Rabba. He took the guy's like 1,000 pairs of tefillin. Only one guy ordered Shimush Rabba. I said the guy must have been a Meshuggah. He thinks he's eligible to wear Shimush Rabba. Like Shimush Rabba tefillin, like you have to be mamish, you know, the Gadol Hador to wear Shimush Rabba tefillin. Mayor, was that you who bought the tefillin, Mayor? He's not even listening. Too bad he missed that. Okay, so there are different versions of the dreidel. The common version of the dreidel is Neis Gadol Hayasham, right? Nun. What's the order? Neis Gadol, Nun Gimel, Hey Shin. I'm assuming that's what it says in all of our dreidels. You probably can't even find a dreidel that says anything other than that today. Neis Gadol, a great
really dreidel.
Neis Gadol Hayasham, a great miracle was there.
It's not like that there.
What do you mean there? In Eretz Yisrael? Now, in Eretz Yisrael, by the way, you probably can't find this drill, because in Eretz Yisrael, they print and make the drills Neis Gadol Hayah Po. Okay, they change the shin to a pei. Neis Gadol Hayah Po. I believe that's the only type of drill you can find in Eretz Yisrael today, which is not traditional, because that's not, if you're very into tradition. If the dreidel says Neis Gadol Hayasham, just because you're living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean you should change the dreidel. And also, what does it mean Sham? Who says Sham in this tradition? If there is, you know, we're making a lot out of nothing. No one really knows to what degree you're allowed to make these drushes. It's only a dreidel, you know. This is not a donut. If it was a donut, then it's, you know, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But a dreidel, who says you have a right to go darshan the letters of the dreidel? In Eretz Yisrael, it seems that it's very common, the dreidel say Neis Gadol Hayopo. However, that's not so simple, because who says the word Sham refers to Eretz Yisrael? Sham may refer to the Beis HaMikdash. Neis Gadol Hayosham in the Beis HaMikdash. Neis Gadol Hayosham could mean in their hearts. There are many. It's not so simple what the word Shom means. We like to simply translate it there in the Holy Land. So if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not grammatically correct to say Neis Gadol Hayosham, Neis Gadol Hayopo. Good, fine. I have no problem with it. I'll buy a dreidel that says Neskel Hoyapo. No sweat off my back. You know, it's perfectly fine. No problem with that. However, there are people that are very into tradition. There is a story. I always tell you the story every year about the Belzer Rebbe, not the one now. His father. He went after the war. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't live much longer after he came to Eretz Yisrael. And when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, it was Hanukkah time. The story is correct, and he asked. He was a very old man. He suffered enormously in the war, and he asked his gabbai, Tzchanaka, bring me a dreidel. Bring me a dreidel. It's a minhag Yisrael. All the rabbis, they spin the dreidel at least once. You take a dreidel and you spin the dreidel. Minhag Yisrael. So the gabbai went and he brought the rebbe a dreidel. The Belzer Rebbe. And he looks at the dreidel and he sees Nes Gadol Hayapo. And he said, it's possible. This is not a kosher dreidel. The minhag Yisrael is Nes Gadol HaYasham. And the gabbai went to find, and he couldn't. I don't know if he ever found one. He went to go find for the Rebbe another dreidel that said Nes Gadol HaYasham with a shin, not a pei. And either he couldn't find it or he had a very hard time finding, because in Eretz Yisrael it says po. The story is very interesting because it says a lot. The dreidel was, well, when was the dreidel invented? No one knows. I mean, the miracle happened. The miracle. Let me ask you a question. When they played dreidel, if this legend is correct, that they were playing dreidel in order to fool the inspectors, what letters did it say on the dreidel? Well, it didn't say Neis Gadol HaYasham, because they were living in Eretz Yisrael and the miracle didn't happen yet. So what exactly, what letters did it say on the dreidel itself? I have no idea. Obviously, this invention came about way, way later. Came about 1,000 years later, someone came up with this dreidel and they used to fool the inspectors. They have a tradition and they wrote in the dreidel, Neis Gadol HaYasham. So it's sacred. It says Neis Gadol HaYasham. I don't know. But whatever it is. On the other hand, but he was very makbid. The Belzer Rebbe held Minag Yisrael. It has to be the way we did it in where we came from. And there it said Neis Gadol HaYasham, and it gets you thinking, what exactly do those words mean? What does it mean, Sham? All right. Now there's another approach to why he may have been makbid on this, is because Neis Gadol, those letters have the same gematria as Moshiach. Nun, Gimel, Hey, Pei are bigamatria Mashiach. And when you spin the dreidel, you are expressing that the world is in a process. The world is spinning. The world, there are things that are happening, they're going into motion, which are part of the process of bringing the Melech HaMashiach. So you have to preserve the gematria. If you're going to manipulate the letters and change it from Neis Gadol HaYasham to Neis Gadol HaYapo, then the gematria is off, and that's not what the purpose is. The minig is to acknowledge that the miracle of the lighting. What really is Chanukah about? Chanukah is a miracle which reminds us about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Oz Egmar, Beshir Mizmar, Chanukas HaMizbeach. What is the Beis HaMikdash? It is the center of the Beis HaMikdash is the Mizbeach, where we bring korbanos. Every single day we recite, our tefillos are in the place of korbanos. The korbanos are offered on the Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach was rebuilt. It was a Chanukah. It was an inauguration. It was a re-inauguration, a rebuilding. Isn't that what we're yearning for today? We're yearning for the renewal, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pach Shemen, that's Tohar, that we can use to relight, which all comes with the Shemunich B'choy Soma Shel Kohen Gadol. The word Moshiach captures a lot about Chanukah. It captures the theme of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. It captures the theme of being anointed, Shemen, and not just Shemen that's Munach B'choy Soma Shel Kohen Gadol. there's a lot to be said about the word Mashiach and its relationship to Chanukah. So if you're going to take the dreidel and you're going to change the letter from Shin to Pei, you're denying, you're taking away the gematria which captures
the... You lose the mystique of the dreidel.
Of the dreidel, which is Mashiach, which is what it represents. Okay, but that's one idea. And there's another version to the dreidel. And the other version of the dreidel is the letters are in a different order of Nun, Shin, Hey, Gimel. Not Nun, Gimel, Hey, Shin, but Nun, Shin, Hey, Gimel, which stands for Ner Shemen, a Ner of Shemen, Hallel Godol, and the reciting of the Hallel Godol, a complete Hallel. Hallel Gamur, Hallel Godol, these are the two things that we do on Chanukah. Chanukah, what do? There's a mitzvah to light candles. That's the mitzvah Hayoim, and we recite Hallel. That's what we do. That's the unique nature of Chanukah. So the dreidel would say these two mitzvahs, Shemen Shin Hey, Gimel, Nun Shin, Hey Gimel. It's the same letters as Neis Godol Hoyasham, but it's in a different order to express the mitzvahs Hayoim. It's interesting. Those people who designed the dreidels, you know, it's like a Freudian slip. A litvak, you know, when you look at a holiday, what do you look at the holiday? What is the nature? I believe that the difference between these two nuschois is the difference between a chosid and a mesnagid. The mesnagdim, when they look at items, when they look at events, oh, mitzvah, bracha, how many times are you going to shakel? Everything is a din. Oh, there's a lulav and esrog. Oh, it's a din. What's the halacha? How many tefachim? The hadasim or the meshulash. Everything becomes a halacha. A chosid, they don't look at the halacha. They look at the message. Let's have some chalant. Let's sing a song. Let's bring out the flavor of the mitzvah. Isn't that one of the main differences between Hasidim and Misnagdim? Misnagdim is like Judaism turns into a science. There are tayag. There are 613 mitzvahs, and every mitzvah has a set of rules and regulations. It has to be done exactly like this. And then the Hasidim, they're not into that. They're more into the flavor of Judaism.
Like Lukovic Shabbos Kodesh to tune.
Right, so you have to sing and dance and wear certain clothing and reflect and meditate. Each one has milos, but each one needs the other. If not for the Hasidim, we Litvaks, we will be finished. And if not for us, they would be finished even faster. Each one of us needs the other. Each brings to Klal Yisrael a different element which is critical for our survival. If there are no mitzvahs, forget it. There's nothing to talk about. But if the mitzvahs are just dry, atzamos yiveshos, just a manual, a little manual, you buy an electronical device and it comes with a little manual, teeny little letters in 50 languages, and you have to figure out how to use an electronical device. If that's what the Torah is, just a manual printed on some recycled paper that in 50 languages, we're in a lot of trouble because no one reads the manuals. They don't even print the manuals anymore. You want to know how to use the instrument? Go online. Online will give you instructions. You're not going to even bother printing it anymore. If Yadus is just a bunch of rules and regulations, we're finished. Yadus needs flavor. But if life is just about flavor and not about the Kiyum HaMitzvahs, that's also a churban, a terrible churban. There has to be a balance. You look at a dreidel. What are the letters? A Litvish dreidel and a Hasidish dreidel. On the Litvish dreidel, it says, Ner Shemen, Hallel Godol. Chanukah is a din. It's a din. Shulchan Aruch. It's a Rambam. It's a Brisker Rav. They had Tzvei Dinim in Chanukah. The Eshta Din, it's Ner Shemen. The Tzveita Din is Halal Gadol. And what's the Chilik? What's the Nafgamina? It's a din. It's a Litvisha Dreidel. A Litvisha Dreidel is Ner Shemen Halal Gadol. A Chassidish Dreidel is Nes Gadol Hayasham. A miracle. A miracle happened. Where did it happen? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Sham, Paul, who difference? A miracle. Hashem loves us. Hashem loves us. Let's dance. Let's sing. Let's enjoy. There's two different types of dreidels. The Nes Gadol HaYasham dreidel, the letters are in that order, or the Litvisha dreidel, where the letters are Nun Shin Hey Gimel, Ner Shemin Halil Gadol. Okay, that's one Yisoid. Next Yisoid, there's another dreidel. Another dreidel. This, I've never seen any of these dreidels. Only dreidel I've ever seen is Nes Gadol HaYasham. And I think I also have a Nes Gadol HaYapo dreidel somewhere lying around. But I've never seen this dreidel, and I've never seen the Litvisha dreidel, but there's another dreidel. I'll call this dreidel the Koilel Chazonish dreidel. Why am I calling it the Koilel Chazonish dreidel? Because the dreidel's letters are arranged differently. Goshna. Gimel Shin Nun Hei. And it doesn't stand for anything. Doesn't mean anything. It's not an acronym. It's a remez to what it says. What it says in this week's parsha, not this week's parsha, next week's parsha.
That's right.
By Yigash, V'yes Yehuda Sholach Lefonov Goishna. Goishna doesn't say Ligoishen. It says Goishna Gimel Shin Nun. It's the same letters on the Megillah. Same letters, but it's a different order. And if you really want to be, you want to be honest, you have to make sure that the manufacturer in China, he knows how to put the letters, the plates on the mold, that the letters are in the right order. Goshna, the Chazonish, the Koilel Chazonish. Why? What was that? When Yaakov Avinu sent down, Klal Yisrael sent down, came to realize that they're all going to be going to Bavel. What was the first thing that he did? He didn't go open up a pizza shop. That was not the first thing that he did. The first thing that he did was he made a yeshiva. V'yes Yehuda Sholach Lefonav Goishna. If we, the people who came to America in the beginning, the end of the 19th century, would have opened up a yeshiva, you know how many Jews there would be today? You know what this world would look like today? It would be a different world today. Literally, millions of Jews have disappeared from the face of this earth into thin air, because they did not get a Jewish education in America. There were no yeshivas. There were no real yeshivas until probably the 40s. Okay, there were a handful here and there, Talmud Torah, this, that. A real yeshiva? Every single yeshiva claims they were the first yeshiva. Did you ever notice that? You ever notice that? Every single major yeshiva, go to any dinner, every single yeshiva will tell you, we were the first. If you go to a Chaim Berlin dinner, they will tell you that. We were the first yeshiva in America. If you go to Torah V'das dinner, they will tell you, we were the first. If you go to YU, Yeshiva University, we were the first. You go to, you name it, Mir Yeshiva, everyone claims they were the first. They have this convoluted calculation, this convoluted, they make up out of thin air, how they can figure out they were the first. But everyone was the first. You know what this tragedy is? They were all too late. There should have been yeshivas in America in the end of the 19th century, and then they would have been today, Mashiach would have come by now. It would have been a different world. People, we didn't get our act together for probably like 50 years.
That's true, Rabbi, but you have to realize, you know, we weren't living then, and we don't know
I'm not blaming anyone.
They were not in charge of the businesses. You know, they were fired. Every week they were fired 7 jobs.
There was no money. So the poverty was unreal. I'm not blaming anyone.
Even with the yeshivas.
I'm not blaming anyone.
Not Litvish, would be Yekish.
If I came to America in the year, in the, if I came to America
all
then,
nonsense.
And they would say to me, my boss would say to me, if you don't come back on Saturday, don't show up Monday.
Right.
I'm talking about, would I be omen of that in the
Nesayin?
Am I strong enough to be omen of that in the Nesayin? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Anyone, I'm a shvacha person. I right away fall in. I'm always very influenced very quickly. And everything that happens in my life, I can look back and say, always, you know, just follow everyone else. I don't think I would have been able to omen of that in the Nesayin.
There were even that used to go daven Shabbos at the Hashkama Minyan, and then they
that's
couldn't
right.
the house and they went
that's
to
right, work. Of course. I'm not blaming anyone, believe
in
me.
Europe, nobody wanted to come to America. It's a tray from Medina.
Okay, I'm not chassid. I know they would say that in America the stones are treif. The stones are treif. That's what they, the lashon was. I'm not chassid shalom blaming anyone. I'm just telling you the reality. I'm just playing the reality. This is the reality, and it's no one's fault. No one gets blamed for anything. I'm the last person in the world that would blame anyone for anything. I'm just telling the reality. The reality is there were no yeshivas. There was no parnasa. The poverty was intense like we can't even begin to imagine. And that was just a natural consequence. And when things got a little bit better, then they opened up yeshivas, and then things changed. Yaakov Avinu knew this way in advance. When they went down to Mitzrayim, the first thing he said, "Yes, Yehuda, sholach lefanov goyshna." What was in Goyshen? It was establish a makom Torah, hayra, a makom to learn Torah. A yeshiva, Rashi then says, to make a yeshiva. We ain't going nowhere unless there's a yeshiva for the next generation. We're not going to go let them run around the streets. There must be yeshiva. That's the tonight. He didn't insist that there should be a pizza shop and restaurants. The first thing there has to be is a yeshiva before you can move into this new neighborhood. And that's what he said, Yehuda Goyshna. What is Chanukah all about? Chanukah is all about Torah. Klal Yisrael, Jewish continuity. The theme we're talking about this year again and again is that the Jewish people during Pesach Chanukah, they fell. They were, according to, as we mentioned, from many Mepharshim and historians, the religious observance of the average Jew was almost nothing. Most of Klal Yisrael were no longer religious. Why? What is the secret to Jewish continuity? One of the big age-old debates. What is the secret to Jewish continuity? There are many things. No one can say only one thing is the reason. Some will tell you Eretz Yisrael. Some will tell you all different things. But one thing that's been proven to be essential, I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it's been proven to be beyond a shadow of a doubt to be essential, is Jewish education. Not just Jewish education, a very heavy and solid Jewish education. Torah. That is the secret to Jewish continuity. Here we're going down to Egypt. Egypt was called the Ervas Haaretz. It's like Las Vegas. Could you imagine? Hashem says, Yaakov Avinu, you know where you're going to set up shop? Las Vegas. The place that even the Rebbe, Bechayev, never sent a shliach to Las Vegas, not to go there. He'll send shluchim everywhere, not to Las Vegas. No one, because it'll swallow up my shluchim to go to the tumah. It's so intense. Now they already have shluchim there. They have a Jewish community there. But in those days, the rabbi, he wouldn't send a shliach to Las Vegas. No way. Not that far. Not ready for that yet. That's what Mitzrayim was. That's what, it was the Ervas Haaretz. And Hashem says, yeah, that's where you're going. You're going down to Las Vegas. So what does Yaakov say? We're not going to survive a day. 70 people. We have 70 people over here in an environment of who knows how many people with all of the casinos and all of the Narishkeit. And we're going to survive one day. We're going to survive one day in Las Vegas. Yeah, we are. You know how? We have a secret weapon. A yeshiva. And we're going to make Yehuda the Rosh HaYeshiva. V'yes Yehuda Sholach Lefanov Goyishna. Klal Yisrael in the time of Hanukkah was suffering extinction. They were suffering, they were coming to an end. And there was a desperate need for Jewish continuity. The miracle was expressed by Hashem through the menorah. What is the menorah? Talmud Torah. The menorah represents the Ohr HaTorah. Jewish continuity needs a solid menorah. It needs a commitment to Jewish education. The children, The minig on Chanukah is for children to play dreidel, not adults. On Purim, who shakes the grogger? It's not children. It's adults. Everyone. There's no. It doesn't say anywhere that a grogger is a child's toy. It doesn't say it anywhere. A grogger is for adults. A dreidel is for children. Children. Why? What does it say on the dreidel in this version, in this third version? Goyshna. What is Goyshna? Jewish education. Jewish education where? In Golos. Sham. Neis Gadol Hoya Sham. Where? Jewish education. It's also Rosh Hashanah's written Nishol Yosham. Where? In Golos. You want to survive in Golos? You better have a yeshiva. Jewish education. This is what is the message of Chanukah. Now, okay, so this now, I want to add one prat, one idea to this equation, to this idea. Is it true or not? I have no idea, but I think there's something to it. In this version of the dreidel, which I'm reading over here from the Nitik Ariel, he quotes all this way out stuff. I tell you that a lot of the stuff here, we don't paskin like it. It's in Yoni Halacha. In Yoni Halacha, he writes, it's really a halachic sefer. And he just tells you, the halacha, and he tells you every opinion. And unfortunately, most of the opinions we don't follow. And that's what's very problematic about a sfarim like this is, you need bottom line. Don't tell me 20 opinions, because 19 of them we don't follow anyway. So just what's the bottom line? What's the opinion? So we're not using this as a halachic safe. I'm using this to, if you see all the opinions, it's beautiful. You get a big picture of the richness of the halacha, so that when you do take out another sefer that tells you what the bottom line is, then, you have an appreciation of what the halacha is all about. And in the process, he has here these incredible footnotes that tell you a lot of fascinating things. And he writes over here about these three dreidels that I told you about, three different dreidels, the site sources, three different dreidels, the order of the letters on the dreidel. Is it Neis Gadol HaYasham? Is it Ner? Is it Ner Shemen Halal Gadol, or is another dreidel? I've never seen this dreidel. I don't, not that I've ever looked. I've looked around too hard, but it's the Goyishna dreidel, Goyishna, because of the pasuk of Ves Yehuda Shalchan of Goyishna. And this whole beautiful idea. This beautiful idea is that what is Chanukah all about? It's about Jewish education. It's about Goyishna, Yehuda Shalchan of Goyishna. Now I just want to add one more prat to this. One more idea. Why is there no Masechta for Chanukah? Famous question, age-old question. Why is Chanukah almost non-existent in Torah Shebaal Peh? You don't find it anywhere. It's not in the Mishnah. It's mentioned, I think it's mentioned in Shas, I think six times. I read somewhere six times it's mentioned in Shas Chanukah, including the Mishnah. What happened? What happened to Chanukah? Chanukah is I really believe, I'm not joking with you, there's more Torah on Chanukah than the Haggadah. And I'm not joking. I really, you would think, if you would ask anyone which part of Judaism has the most Sfarim, the most commentators, you would say the Haggadah, for sure. You go into any bookstore, Erev Pesach, you go into Beagle Eyes, and they have mamish tables and tables and tables of Haggadahs like you never saw before. But you know something? I think really, honestly, there's more chidushim on Chanukah than on the Haggadah. 99% of what's in those Haggadahs is regurgitated from psukim, from Birchas HaMazon, from likutim taken from other areas of because the Haggadah, you have the Bikurim, you have Birchas HaMazon, you have Kiddush, you have Pesach. They take, so you take, you make a sefer, you put together here and there, poof, hocus pocus, you'd be able to punch out, especially with today's technology. It's not so hard today. With technology today, you go and you can be malakate. There's a lot of material to work with. But how much of the Haggadah really deals with the Haggadah? The Haggadah, the pure elements. You'd be surprised, not that much. There's not that much there. It's just more about, but Chanukah, it's unbelievable. Every sefer you pick up on Chanukah is pure Chanukah. They're not bringing into Chanukah Birchas HaMazon. They're not bringing into Chanukah Sfiras HaOmer. They're not telling you about the din of Kiddush. You get Kiddush every Friday night, you say Kiddush. not telling you about psukim in the different psukim about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Any sefer you pick up on Chanukah is pure Chanukah. And there are a lot of svarim, and there are amazing, amazing things out there about Chanukah. It's really, really incredible. I would bet there's more on Chanukah. You ask a person who really knows this question, what is there more on, Chanukah or the Haggadah? Chanukah, more than the Haggadah.
Yeah, I think that if it was Masechtas Chanukah, then we would have less to go by because we'd have an official version in the Gemara, and therefore we'd be less open to speculation. And so now we're freewheeling here because the ability is there.
It's abstract. There's no official because version. It's abstract, it allows more comments. Okay, but that's an interesting idea. So there are many answers to this question. Why Chanukah in the Talmud is very little. Many answers. One answer, I think probably the best answer is the Gemara says, there is no Megillah. Chanukah was lo nitan li kosev, the last miracle that's been given permission to put in writing, as far as the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, is Purim. Purim is called Soif Kol Hanisim. Purim happened 200 years before Chanukah. Purim is a Megillas Esther. It was, and the Chazal said, because it was put in writing, and writing is holy, it's part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, it's Soif Kol Hanisim. It's the end. Chanukah, have no permission to make a Megillah. Now there is a Megillah, Megillas Antiochus, Megillas Chanukah, the Maccabees, there's a Megillus, but those Megillus are from part of the Apocrypha. It's not part of the Sifrei Kodesh. It's Baal Peh. The same way in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, it's Lo Nitan Li Kosev. Likewise, that carried over into Torah Sheh Baal Peh. In the Talmud, in the Mishnah, it's also lo nitan li kosef. Even though Talmud Bavli is the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, but there is an element of don't write about it so much. Just write the Rosh Hashanah Parak and don't write all that much about it. Okay, that is probably the best answer, the most solid answer why we don't have any Masechta. We have very few Daf Gemara, and even the Daf Gemara are discuss certain things, not discussing the whole, everything about Chanukah. It's because the Gemara says, Purim is Soif Kol Hanisim. Chanukah is Lo Nitan Li Kosev, and that carries weight even in the Mishnayis and in the Talmud Bavli. But that's only one answer. There are many, many more answers. The other answers we've been discussing the whole week is that Chanukah is a very embarrassing holiday. Because if most of the Jewish people were not observant, and Hashem had to come in for the save, come in the bottom of the ninth, and bail us out, it's a busha uchlima. It's a stain on our history, and we're not in the business of promoting our deficiencies, our blemishes. This is not a... doesn't look good on the shidduch resume to write about the miracle of Chanukah because it exposes all of our problems. That's another answer. And then I'll tell you the controversial answer. The controversial answer is, who says this? Maybe, am I mistaken that the Gros says this? I'm not so sure I even remember who says anyone when everything gets big mishmash in my head. But the controversial answer is that, let me give you some background to the controversial answer. You know what the answer is anyway. I just want to give you some background to bring it out more. Purim. Purim is very embarrassing for us. Why? The miracle, because what was the collateral damage of Purim? A nice Beis Yaakov girl is married to a Shegetz. Isn't that the bottom line? A nice Edela Beis Yaakov girl. She did everything right from kindergarten, from playgroups, all the way. She went to probably the best Esther Malka. She went to the best seminaries. She went to BJJ and she went to, you know, all the Haredi schools. How in the world did she end up marrying a goy? A prosta goy, a beer, a chashverosh. Some say he was a tipish, melech tipish. She married a foolish person who's a goy? Come on. Melech chacham haya, melech tipish haya. How in the world did this happen? A nice Beis Yaakov girl marries a goy? Charpa. Ki charpa hilanu. Hachazoyna ya'asa es achayseinu. No, isn't that what the Bnei Yaakov said? Isn't that what the Bnei Yaakov said to Yaakov? Hachazoyna ya'asa es achayseinu. She married an orel? He didn't have a bris mila. Achashverosh. Ki charpa hilanu. It's a disgrace. The whole thing is a disgrace for us. How do you explain this? No, we look the other way. We live a complicated life. We all know that we have contradictions in our lives. Okay? We have a lot of contradictions in our lives. We look the other way. Chanukah is also very problematic. Because who brought about the miracle of Chanukah? The Chashmonoyim. These were tzaddikim beyond we can even begin to fathom. And there's been so much written about the Chashmonoyim, their righteousness, who they were, where they lived, their dynasties, the whole, so many all these articles you can read about in Yerichai. I was reading in the magazine, about in Ami magazine, they write about ancient Yerichai. You go there, this guy, he went undercover. Fascinating article. This fellow, he went, he has an Arab friend, he took him undercover into Yerichai to give him a tour of the Chashmonoyim. That's where they were based. The Chashmonoyim, the family, the dynasty, they lived primarily in Yerichai. And Yerichai today is under the Palestinian Authority, their control. Jews do not go there. It is sakonis nefashis for a Jew to go into that territory, in that area. And there are incredible artifacts and archaeological sites that bring out some of the secrets, some of the history of the Chashmonoyim. Okay, and then where do the battles take place? In Modi'im. Where is Modi'im? I don't know anything about geography in Eretz Yisrael. Where is Modi'im? Mayor, where is Modi'im? Where is Modi'im? What part of Eretz Yisrael is Modi'im? People go there. People go there in Chanukah to Modi'im. Because
when you come from Tel Aviv and you're going to what's it called, the big city. It's called Modi'im, right?
Who lives there?
They have
Jews.
So halfway between Tel Aviv and Yerushalayim.
So that
just when you're going up to the mountains, up the mountain pass, they had a
the battles. It seems that the battles between the Chashmonoyim and the Yevanim and the Misyavnim took place in Modi'im, and that's where they fell in battle. And there's a minhag by some in Eretz Yisrael. They go there. They go to Modi'im. They go to Modi'im on Chanukah to daven, because that's somewhere there in that area is where it was.
They have Kivrei Hamakabim there also.
Right, that's where they have Kvarim, and that's where the battlefield was. The battlefield took place in Modi'im.
I'll post there's a whole narrative on it.
So there's a lot of incredible things with the Chashmonoyim. It's Noyde V'Oyim, what you can talk about the Chashmonoyim. But you know something? It's a very big stain in our history. Why? They don't belong in power. The one who belongs in power is Yehuda, Malchus Beis David. The Chashmonoim are from Shevet Levi. They were the Kohanim Gedolim. They were Al Yidei Kohanecha HaKadoshim Chol Shmonis Mechanecha HaNesel Kodeshim. I even want to suggest is that is why, this is a Chiddush, that is why when we say Al HaNisim, we light Chanukah candles. So what do we say? Hanedos halalu koydeshem v'chulu v'chulu al yedei koyhanecha hakidoshim. Why? Why is it necessary to mention that? Every single person who lights candles has to mention al yedei koyhanecha hakidoshim. Why? You know why? They weren't only koyhanim. They were the kings. They were the malachim. They had authority. So we want to say, forget about that. It's true. They were the authority. You know, in fact, if you were living in that time, if you were living in the time of, if you were living in the time of Hanukkah, and you would talk about the Chashmonaim, you would say, are they the Chashmonaim, the Molochim, the Beis HaMalchus? The first thing that would come to your mind if you were living in the time of the Chashmonaim, they're the royal family. The royal family. Oh, they happen to be Kohanim. Yeah, all right. Okay. What else is new? So when they come to Shul, we'll give them the first Aliyah. They happen to also be Kohanim. But that's not important. What's power? Money talks. Kohanim are poor people. Kohanim get handouts. They're beggars, Kohanim. It's terrible. Kohanim, you have to give them gifts, truma, trumas meiser, b'char. You have to support them.
But the Kohen Gadol, is he supposed to be rich?
You're supposed to make him rich. Ain't a doyme, if you make your own million, then someone gives you $1 million. No, so he has a lot of money. Someone gave him a lot of money. People who yarsh and big money, you'll notice they don't have that. They don't have such. People don't respect them to the same degree as a person who made it rich himself. A person who's a self-made millionaire earns a lot more respect than a billionaire who yarshined the money, did nothing to earn the money. There's something to it. There's something about money. People are just, they like to hang out with people who have. Someone once asked, I was once sitting at my table, and this very chashuv person said to me, tell me about this person. I was like, well, how much? Tell me, if he didn't have any money, would everyone be so attracted to him? There's a certain guy, everyone hangs out with him. If he wasn't so rich, would everyone really hang out with the guy if he wasn't so rich? I said, probably not. It's because money talks. When you make your own money, I don't know, people that you're attracted, you're a popular person. The Chashmonaim were powerful people in their own right. They became the kings of the Jewish people. Kohanim are poor people. They're religious people. They're holy people. When you would talk about the Chashmonaim, the first thing comes to mind is Malchus, not Kohuna. Chazals told us, when you light the Hanukkah candles and reflect upon the Chashmonaim, we want to clean your mind, put you in the washing machine, and clean out this narishkeit that they were powerful, rich people who controlled, had authority in the Jewish people. The only thing you should know about the Chashmonaim is Al Yedei Kohanecha HaKedoshim. And forget about the fact that they were wealthy, they were powerful, influential, and they were the kings of the Jewish people. You know why? Because they were illegitimate in that respect. They had no right to be the kings of the Jewish people. Malchus belongs to Yehuda. Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda, umichoygik mi bein ragov, ad ki yavo shiloi. So what are they doing? How do they usurp the power of the Malchus? Okay. Hayro Asha, there was no one else. B'makom she'ein ish, hishtadel lihiyos ish. There was no one from the family of Yehuda that was eligible to lead. There was no one. There was no one out there. Okay, we know what that means, unfortunately, today. A lack of leadership. A dearth of leadership. So b'makom she'ein ish, nope. He also can be, they can be, let them be the leaders. They know what they're doing. They should be the leaders, but it's illegitimate. And at the time Taka came, when after the miracle of Hanukkah was over, then there were people who had developed and were nurtured and were ready to take back the Malchus to Yehuda. There were people from the family of Yehuda that were ready to take back the Malchus. But the Chashmonaim became corrupt. And they said, we're not giving it back. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. They refuse to hand back the reins of Malchus to Yehuda. So some want to say something very controversial. That's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not create a Masech to Hanukkah, because Rabbeinu HaKadosh was from Shevet Yehuda, and he felt the personal insult. It still lingered in his day. The insult to the Bnei Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, that the Malchus was not restored to them. And therefore, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it's not personal. I don't have a right to be Meichel on the Kavod of my family. It's not for me to be Meichel. I'm just one person. I don't have a right to be Meichel on the Kavod of the dynasty. So we don't want to, it's not proper to give it a Masechta. By giving it a Masechta, you're gonna elevate the status of the Chashmonoim to a very high level, but that's problematic because these people do not belong in power. It was a Choyroa Sho'a that they were allowed to be the kings. But we don't want to let that go too far because that's not what Judaism is about. So therefore, it's dangerous. We have to downplay it. Leave it to Torah Shebal Peh. Let's not put it in writing. I mean, everything's Torah Shebal Peh, but let's not put it in the Mishnais. It's a little controversial, that answer. That's an answer that's been thrown around quite a bit. There's something to it. And it's not Rabbeinu HaKadosh himself. He's not a person. It's like they talk about the president today. He's a sore loser. You know, he's not a sore loser. There are 70 million people that voted for him. You know, there are 70 million people that feel that they've been wronged. It's not about one person. It's not about one person. There's something much larger. There's a larger issue. It's not Rabbeinu HaKadosh. You can't go say it's a petty thing. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, oh, he's personally insulted. His mishpacha. That's ridiculous. It's not a personal matter. There's a big problem with Hanukkah. There's a big problem. There's a big problem with Purim. There's a very big problem with Purim. That what kind of model is Esther for Klal Yisrael? A Beis Yaakov goes off and marries a goy who doesn't have a bris milah? It's a very big problem. No, it's halacha l'moshe misinai kemat. It's nitan likosev. They were nevi'im. Esther has to be written down. But Chanukah, there's no nevuah. We're not going to promote it. We're not going to promote Chanukah. It's not so poshut to promote a breach in protocol, in authority. The Malchus belongs to Yehuda. Lo yosu shevim Yehuda. It's a serious matter. We're going to downplay it. We're not going to put it in writing. Now, I want to add to the mix the following. That's why there's a dreidel. At least in my calling, I told you there are three versions of the dreidel. There are four versions.
I'd like to mention something.
Yeah.
It's amazing on Shevet Levi. It happened the same thing with Chet Egel. Mila Shem Elai.
Oh, Shevet okay. Levi. Okay.
Bemidyan, who nakam et nikmat Hashem Bemidyan, a Kohen.
Leaders.
Sometimes the Kohanim.
B'makom she'ein ish.
Something.
Yeah.
In Hanukkah. Bring all three together.
Okay.
And you can see something happened.
B'makom she'ein ish.
Mi amar et ze? Imla Shimon v'Levi. The same. That's their nature.
Okay.
That's their nature.
But you're right. B'makom she'ein ish. It's mutter. It was a hayro ashah. But it's not a model for forever. It has to be put in the proper perspective. It's a controversial answer. This answer has not been taken lightly. There are some mafarshim that are very horrified about with this answer. And they deny anyone who ever said it. They deny he ever said it. It's a very controversial approach. All right, but I want to add one little point. I told you there are four versions of the dreidel. There is the dreidel shel Eretz Yisrael neis gadol hayapo. Good. Then there's the classic. I call the Hasidish dreidel. The neis gadol hayasha. And then there's the Litvish dreidel. Ner shemen halel gadol. And then there is, I call it the kol chazunish dreidel. The yeshiva. You make a yeshiva. The yeshiva dreidel. The yeshiva dreidel, goyishna. The letters are arranged. Gimel Shin Nun Hey. Why? To remind Klal Yisrael in a delicate way. Yes, Yehuda Shalach Lefanov Goshna. Don't ever forget. This was Hirasha. This was just for the time. When the dreidel is spinning, You don't see the letters. When the dreidel comes to an end and it comes to rest, what does it say? Yehuda. Yes, Yehuda sholach lefan of Goishna. The nace of Hanukkah, the world was spinning. Nu, the world is spinning. Hayro Asha, nu, Levi, Chashmonoyim, you can come in, save us. Mila Hashem Elai, exactly, Mila Hashem Elai, beautiful. But that's when the world is spinning. But when the world reaches Minucha, the world reaches a state of peace. Ah, Goishna. Who's Goishna? V'yes Yehuda Shalach. You must restore the Malchus to Yehuda. It's a code word for Yehuda. Don't forget about where the Malchus really belongs. So Sach HaKol, we have four different dreidels. We have each dreidel represents a different idea. All different ideas. The dreidel is not a simple matter. Now, I want to tell one more thing about the dreidel. Then I want to tell you about the significance. Running out of time about the dreidel. This was very, very beautiful in the Nidei Gevurah. This really shook me up. Now, there's a minhag in Chanukah to play cards, right? To play cards. Anyone play cards? I don't even know how to play cards. Okay, there's a minute to play Chanukah. Now, that really is an outgrowth of playing dreidel, because dreidel is also gambling. You're supposed to spin the dreidel and bet. It's very easy to manipulate the dreidel to make it come out wherever you want. That I know how to do. I can train you to make sure the dreidel comes out on any letter you want. But the dreidel basically became a tool of gambling. And it was abused over time. There are many teshuvos. Give money, you put money in the pot, then you spin, and you do this, you do that, you play games. Gambling. It became gambling. Gambling is awesome. It is categorically forbidden. Asmachta loikanya. The only reason why you're putting money in this pot is because you think you're going to win. You fool yourself. You're delusional. Delusional. You think you're going to win. You lose. So it turns out someone took your money. The money that he took is gezel, because you never really gave it to him. You only put the money there because you thought that you would win. So when you lose, you never really gave it up. If you never really gave it up, the person who takes the money away is a ganav, a gazlan. He stole your money. It's problematic. So therefore today, there are so many teshuvahs written about dreidel, about cards, gambling, casinos, this and that, ganse maisa, whatever it's all about. But I saw something very, very beautiful. That according to one opinion, according to this source cited here in the footnotes of the Nitik Raviel, that whenever they created this game, whenever, no one can really pinpoint when this thing came into existence, this dreidel and this gambling business, it was by design. It was by design to show, I forgive you, I want to give you money. Chanukah is a time to give. It's the season of giving, right? It's the season of giving. It's to give. You know, sometimes when you give, you're embarrassed to give. You're embarrassed to take. Give a handout. Poor person. Doesn't have what to eat. So you go, you knock on his door, you put an envelope under the door. How does the guy feel? Gave me an envelope. I took tzedakah. Yeah. My whole life is worthless. I've already stooped to this low. I have to take handouts. I beg for handouts. I go schnorr from shul to shul. Humiliation. Now the schnorr has suffered the ultimate humiliation. They come into a shul. Corona. Mechutzif. You're coming here to kill us. You know, it's very sad for these collectors. It's bad enough in good times, the humiliation to go collecting. And now you add corona. They come into a shul. They spit on them. How dare you come here during corona? Where's your mask? Your mask is not good enough. It's not N95. It's not over your nose. It's not high enough. It's not a pleasant thing to be a collector. Okay, let's not kid ourselves. It's humiliating. So when the person, Chanukah dreidel was an invention to prevent humiliation. Let's play dreidel. And you know what your goal is? I want to lose. The goal is to lose. Because if I lose, I want you to have the money. Come, you take a poor person, a pauper, homeless guy off the street. Come, let's play dreidel. Chanukah! Chanukah! And you take out a $100 bill, you start playing. Oh! I lost. The guy walks away with your $100. This is not gezel. This was done l'chatchila. To be mahana the person. And to take away the busha of giving him a handout. Isn't that amazing? The whole problem with dreidel is gambling. Yeah, it's gambling when you want to win. When you want to lose, this is tzedakah in a pleasurable way, in a certain sense. You make the guy feel good.
I can see them, Zos Chanukah, they play dreidel. Everybody plays dreidel. Whatever, Shin is a win, Gimel is a win, Nin is, everything is a
win. Give! Okay, but that's not the real job.
My mother said when she was in Europe, the Gimel was Geb, and the Nun was Nem.
Gimel is Geb and Nun is Nem.
Interesting. Gimel was Geb. You have to give. Nun was like what we call Gimel. Nun was Nem. That's where you got to take.
That the goal of the dreidel was, it was a technique in order to be mahanis someone in a pleasurable way. Okay, last thing. We have 4 minutes. Last thing I want to tell you about the significance of the seventh day of Chanukah. We once discussed this idea of acharon chaviv. I told you there was a person that I knew very well, not very well, and I knew him for many years. I forgot his name already. I forgot his first name. His name was Victor. There was a fellow here in the neighborhood. His name was Dr. David Victor. He now lives in Muncie. He needs a refuah shlema. Dr. David Victor. His father was Hachover. I think his name was Chaim Victor. He was...
Yes, that was his name.
A real yekka.
He has a grandson named Chaim for that.
He was a real yekka. He was more yekka than all the yekkas put together. If you want to know what a yekka was, what a real yekka was, whew, he was the real deal. The real deal, a real yekka. A very dignified person. Very choshev person. Person was moist. I learned a lot about him after he passed away. I learned a lot about him. Very, very choshev person. And this Chaim Victor, he once told me a vart. I told this to you many times. Acharon, acharon chaviv. He asked me, what does that mean? I said, it means the last is the most precious. No, it's not. That's not what it means. If it meant the last is the most precious, Chazal would say, acharon chaviv. Chazal don't waste words. If Chazal wrote, acharon, acharon chaviv, the expression is, acharon, acharon chaviv. If they wrote the expression, acharon, acharon chaviv, it means, the second to last is the most precious. Today is the second to last day of Chanukah. Today is acharon, acharon chaviv. Why is that important? Because the Rambam writes something about Chanukah that he doesn't say about any other mitzvah in all of Taryag mitzvahs. Forget about this. Chanukah is not even a mitzvah. It's only the Rabbanon. And he says, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah, chaviva hi me'oid. The Rambam calls the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah a mitzvah chaviva. Not just chaviva, chaviva hi, it is me'oid. Such a nusach the Rambam doesn't say anywhere. The entire Yana Chazakah. If the mitzvah of Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva hi me'oid, and today is the second to last day of Chanukah, it's acharon, acharon chaviv, it's obviously a very special day. Now, what is the specialness? So this goes back to another idea that we always talk about. What was the purpose of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? What was the purpose? The Rashbam, I love this Rashbam. This Rashbam is just mind-blowing, and you use this Rashbam for only 100 different things. The Rashbam says the purpose of the menorah was to be a flashlight on the shulchan. El mol pnei ha-menorah yu'iru shivas ha-neiros. Opposite the menorah is where the menorah should cast its light. The Rashbam on the pasuk in Mahaloscha says, you know what the purpose of the menorah is? To cast, to illuminate the lechem upon him. That's what it says, the Rashbam. It's not just stamina, the menorah, ambiance. It was a purpose. Practical. Tachlis. There was a purpose. The purpose of the menorah was to highlight, to cast its light, to illuminate the lechem upon him. What do we know about the lechem upon him? That it says only by the lechem upon him, and it does not say anywhere else by any other thing. B'chol HaTorah Kula, it says that occasionally during the Shalosh Regalim, they would. Well, let's take a step back. The lechem upon him, no one today would buy the lechem upon him. You know why? It's stale. They baked when they gave the kohanim to eat the lechem upon him. It was 8 days since it was baked. Would any of you here eat bread that was baked 8 days ago? The bread came out of the oven 8 days ago. They would bake the bread on Friday. They would put the bread on the shulchan on Shabbos, and they would remove it the following Shabbos, and they would give it out. They would distribute the bread to the kohanim. Eight days later. The number eight. Isn't that interesting? 8 days. Chanukah, 8 days. Okay? I didn't realize that. 8 days later. They baked it on Friday, put it on the shulchan tomorrow, Shabbos, and the next Shabbos they gave it out to eat. So it's 8 days old. Would any of us eat bread that was baked 8 days, that wasn't frozen? You know, you eat pizza, it's like Pesach. It's more than 8 days. They freeze it the whole Pesach for you. But if you don't put the bread in the freezer and you put it on the table exposed, not in the plastic, no plastics. You just put it on the table and let it sit there for 8 days. Would you eat it? I don't think so. But the Kohanim ate it. And did they eat it? It was a bracha for them. It blessed their whole body. Ate that, you didn't have to go to a doctor your whole life. You were good forever. The nutrition that you got from that, it was gold. And what was unique about it? What does it say in the Gemara? Not only was it fresh, there was steam. Steam was still coming forth from the bread 8 days later. Everyone wanted to see this miracle. What do? They opened the curtains occasionally on the Shalosh Regalim. People can look, binoculars, into the heichal, and they can see the steam rising from the shulchan, from the lechem upon him 8 days later. And the kohanim would make, okay, the kohanim of Chanukah, the same kohanim, they would make the following statement to Klal Yisrael. Re'u chibaschem lefnei hamokim. You know what the significance of the steam rising is? Look how much Hashem loves you. Re'u chibaschem lefnei hamokim. The menorah is there to highlight the steam. The menorah is to highlight the chiba of Klal Yisrael. Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi me'oid. The mitzvah of Chanukah, the aura of Chanukah, highlights the chavivos that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. Where is the chavivos expressed in the sustenance? Hashem has sustained us with lechem. And lechem doesn't just mean bread. L'chu lachem u'b'lachmi. With everything that the bread represents, Torah and life and Kedusha v'tahara. And today is the second to last day of Chanukah. And there's one more piece to this puzzle. All of the neros went out. They put an oil that can go from the night to the morning. But there was one ner that never went out. Chanukah miracle happened every single day. Every single day, there was a Hanukkah miracle in Beis HaMikdash. The Ner Ma'arovi never went out. As long as the Yisrael were Oysim Ritzon and Shalmakam, it never went out. Miracle. There's only enough oil to last for 12 hours, and it lasted every single day for 24 hours. The miracle of Hanukkah happened every single day. Which Ner is the Ner Ma'arovi? There are two opinions in the Gemara. It all depends on how you position the menorah. One opinion says it was the center. But that's usually, that's not even the popular opinion. That's not what you hear about in all the books. The popular opinion was, the Ner Ma'arovi was the second to last. The second to last. The Neros were arranged. The whole Gemara, whole Daf Gemara explaining to you the second. Why, how we know that. They were arranged going from Mimizruch L'Marav. The first Ner is the closest Ner to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you move away. Ner number six, there are only seven Neros. Seven Neros, but the second to last. Everything makes sense now. Acharoin, Acharoin, Choviv. Why is the second to last Ner? It always bothered me. Why? Why the second to last Ner? My high. Second to last Ner? What? The middle Ner, the first Ner, the last Ner, the second to last Ner? Acharoin, Acharoin, Choviv. The goal of the menorah is to illuminate the steam. The steam is the Chavivis Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokoyim. Which Ner should be the Ner that should miraculously last and illuminate more than all the other Neros? The second to last. Because since the whole illumination is for the purpose of Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokoyim, so it's the second to last Ner. That's the Achadoin, Achadoin Choviv that's given this assignment to bring out Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokoyim. And here we are today, Rabbi Yisai, on the second to last day of Hanukkah, the day of Chiba. Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Me'oid. Here on the second to last Zaman, the second to last day, the Chavivos that Hashem has for Klal. It's not a coincidence that it snowed today on the second to last day of Hanukkah. It's not a coincidence. Im yiyu chato'eichem kasheleg kashonim kasheleg yalbinu. If your sins are red, you're soiled in sin like to where it's red, I'll purify you. Kasheleg yalbinu. Is it a coincidence that it snowed on the second to last day? Hasn't snowed in 2 years. Even more maybe. Last year didn't snow once, not even once. Pile ploim. Hashem knew our limits. Can't have COVID and snow also. It hasn't snowed. It's punked. It snows the second to last day of Hanukkah. Hashem knows what we're going through. He sees it all. Chanukah mitzvah chaviva hi me'oid. Hashem has spoken. Im yucha to'echem kashonim kashele galbinu. Mitzvah chaviva hi me'oid. Ru'uchi baschem lefnei hamakom. May we merit to feel, internalize, and see the steam, the chavivus, and it should bring for everyone here only barucha, yeshua, refuah, parnasa, simcha, nachas upon us and upon all of Klal Yisrael, and we should witness the geula b'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Eshkoyach. Have a nice day, Rabbi Yisai.
No, Shekhar, thank you. On Dreidel, it's the B'nai Yisastor who discusses the Goshna and the Gematria of Mashiach.